It's 1 o'clock Mountain Time, 12 o'clock Pacific Time. You are here with Jackie and JJ in the live Q&A, and I know a lot of you had questions, and so many of you couldn't make the call, so obviously you sent your questions in ahead of time. So we have those questions, and then we'll also be taking live questions, and our operator, Andy, will tell you exactly how to ask a question. And so what we usually do is we answer the first question, and then we go to our live people that have joined us. So let's start. The first question is from Barbara. I've been doing the cleanse and am continuing with the shakes, but I've seen no difference in my skin. It's extremely crepey no matter what I do, drinking 10 glasses of water, moisturizing, removing dairy. It doesn't look any better. Is there something else I need to do or take? Thank you.
Okay, so here's my big – there's three things. But the one thing I don't know, and one of the things I'd ask people when you're writing in, give us as much – I'd rather you go TMI. We don't necessarily need to write it all, and you don't have to put your last name. But the biggest question I have is, what age are you? Because if your estrogen – the minute – by the way, you have this to look forward to, but when your estrogen drops, massive impact in your skin. Skin gets crepey. So if you are peri or – menopausal or postmenopausal, if your estrogen levels have gone low, which I unfortunately am going through myself, it will impact your skin, and we can do a ton of stuff, and it will look better, but it won't. The crepiness won't improve. So that's the first question, is it estrogen? And by the way, you can find a local compounding pharmacist, and they can actually do estriol cream, face cream, and it's, like, amazing. So that's the first part of it. The second part is GLA, and GLA is just for dry skin, eczema, psoriasis, acne, everything. I take this every day, and it's in we have it in the form of black currant oil, and that's how we get GLA. And GLA is an omega-6, but it's anti-inflammatory, and it's written up, like, if you look up the dermatological journals, it's all over the place in there. But for some reason, it's kind of one of those secrets. So GLA would be another one I'd add, black currant oil. And I'd start with two of those a day. And quite often, when people eat a lot of omega-3s, they actually get deficient in GLA. It's not like, you know, I can't think of the last time I actually used black currant oil or borage oil or some of the other sources of GLA. So it's not so obvious in the diet. It's not like omega-3s where you're getting them in so many different places. So it is one where we tend to be more deficient. When I've done a lot of fatty acid testing over the years, and I kind of stopped because I discovered I could really look at someone's diet and see a lot. And what I saw, for the most part, is people deficient in GLA. They were doing their omega-3s, but they'd forgotten this. So I would definitely add that in. And then the other piece of this is fat digestion, because if you are not digesting your fats well, you will not have great skin, right? And the two areas in digestion I see the most problems with are protein and fat. So if you're seeing, like, Jackie, it's lunchtime. Skid marks on the toilet, oily stools, that can be a sign of poor fat digestion. Someone else asked a question.
Will you explain, as disgusting as this is, I understand what the stuff is in the – what does an oily stool look like?
Well, you just have oiliness around the, like, the water.
So it looks like almost like oil around the stool in the bowl.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. So you just want to do that to get more graphic.
No, I have to. Well, I have to tell you, I've seen that my daughter will have stuff, you know, remaining in the bowl. So I've seen that before, and I was like, wait, have I ever seen oily stoolness? And what does that look like?
So, so oily stools. And also, if you have been taking vitamin D but you're not getting your levels up, and someone else asked this question, you know, with fat you have water-soluble and fat-soluble vitamins. So A, D, E, and K are fat-soluble, which means they need fat in order to be absorbed. So if you're not absorbing your fats well, it can also cause you to be deficient in your fat-soluble vitamins. So someone had said to me, you know, I'm taking vitamin D and it's not working. Part of it is make sure you take enough. I have to take 10,000 IUs of vitamin D a day to stay in my optimal 60 to 80 ng's per ml range, which just blows my mind. I mean, I live out in the desert. I walk my dog in the sunshine every day. I have to. And I don't wear sunscreen. I think sunscreen's horrible, so I don't wear sunscreen. And I still have to take 10,000 IUs of vitamin D. So some people genetically just don't make vitamin D well, or it could be a fat digestion thing. So if it's a fat digestion thing, the product I'm going to recommend, I mean, first off, a good comprehensive enzyme is going to be helpful here, and that's, of course, would be BioGest. And I'm actually going to read in, I'm going to find it, what in BioGest is really the helpful thing there. So in BioGest, if I can locate it, track it down, or just go pull it off my counter.
I know. Mine's not right in front of me, right?
On the counter.
I'll go run and get it, yeah.
You know, so the nice thing with BioGest is that it's got the ox bile, which will help with fat emulsification. So it's a nice comprehensive one that's going to help with protein, carb, and fat emulsification and absorption. But honestly, I rarely ever see anyone having trouble absorbing, digesting their carbs. The only time you have trouble digesting carbs is if you don't chew. Then some of us don't. I know. Hey, I'm not a good. It's like sometimes I go, did I chew? Like, did
me
I chew?
Me too.
You know that whole idea you're supposed to chew what, like 100 times? Like, are you high? I mean, really?
That's why I like soup.
Come on. Yeah, exactly. Chew for me. Chew for me. I want to outsource everything in my life. So just got to find someone. To come in. I'll be like, what's her face's baby? Remember the, what's her name?
I don't know.
Chewing the food and putting it in her baby's mouth. Come on. Have you not been paying attention?
I just heard that story. Alicia
Silverstone,
right? Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Crazy.
Anyway,
the other one, if for a lot of people, the BioGest is not going to be enough. If you just have very poor fat metabolism, what I would look at is this product called Lipotrepin. I hope I pronounced that right. I wish we would get products that were like, we digest fat better, you know, is the name for something.
Yes,
but,
yes.
You know,
fat digestive aid.
Fat digestive aid. So,
you know.
Yeah, it helps, you know, this one helps with helping the liver with lipid metabolism, fat metabolism, and preventing the accumulation of fat. So it can also help with fatty liver, helps the bile, liver's bile output. So all the stuff that you need to help your body basically digest fat better. So Lipotrepin, if I pronounce that right.
Right, so we were talking, the three products you were just saying, the first one was the black currant oil, the second one was BioGest. Can Plantasyme have the same effect or no?
It can. I mean, I've kind of taken to giving most people Plantasyme because I know some people freak out about the you know, the ox bile, though it works so well, but Plantasyme will do it because it does have lipase in there, and lipase will help break down fat, so you can absolutely use Plantasyme.
But the BioGest is better.
I think overall the BioGest is just better, but I know a lot of people freak out about that, so that's why I've been using the Plantasyme.
Okay. And then the third one was Lipotrepin.
And that's if you are having a challenge with digesting your fat. And, you know, one of the ways you can figure that out besides, like, doing a whole poop analysis, which is, of course, is one way, but looking in the toilet poop analysis, the other way, honestly, is to do a real poop analysis and do a GIFX through Metametrics, and you will see if you've got trouble digesting fat. That's my favorite all-time test. Anyway, so that's another option. Okay.
Andy, do you want to tell people how to ask a live question, and we'll just see if we have any live questions before we go to the next one?
Okay, to ask a live question, please press *0, and I'll go ahead and answer, pick it up, and I will put you on queue for questions.
Great. Okay, so we'll go to the next question, then we'll take live questions.
So, JJ, in regards to one of my questions you suggested I write in, since I wasn't exactly clear what I was saying, you were right. I was asking why the dryness. I noticed, especially around ovulation to menstruation, my mouth, bowels, and skin become excessively dry no matter the water intake. Constipation is because everything gets really dry and hard, and I think the increased fiber is making this more obvious with the cleanse. Your suggestion of improving the metabolizing fat sounds like key here. What would you suggest? I live in Northern Virginia. Is sufficient fat metabolism a factor in absorbing vitamin D? I've spent years trying to raise it. Okay, so everything I just said applies here. Here's the deal. In that time period that you're talking about, Liz, where you notice everything gets dry, that's actually when progesterone comes up, it's blocking estrogen. So your estrogen now is coming down, and estrogen's the lubricator. You know, I hate when women go through menopause, they get dry all over, right? when lower estrogen, you'll have drier skin, drier all over. So we get old and dried out. So that's where estrogen comes in. So you're saying now that you're noticing that happening during the second half of your period. That's when progesterone's higher, estrogen's lower, and that's probably what's happening there. You may want to, I don't know what time, how old you are, but that might be a great time to go and talk to a hormone balancing doctor if you're not getting regular periods. And I would recommend Bodylogic MD because they're all over the place and they make sure that all their doctors have gone through the A4M fellowship. And then during that time, what I'd also do, I'd take the lipotropin like we talked about. That should help with the vitamin D. I don't know how much vitamin D you're taking. Make sure you're taking a really good source like the Thorn one and take 10,000 IUs a day and then test to make sure you're getting to 60 to 80 NGs per ml. And then if you need to a little bit around this time, insoluble fiber is going to help have that laxative effect. But also, you know, there's a product from Thorn, and this is one I think is one of the best things that you can travel with is herbal laxative. So sometimes, you know, this just happened with one of my friends was like, you know, I'm traveling and this is happening. You know, it's like you get off your game. And I don't know about you, but I think that being
I travel with those.
Yeah, it's one of the worst feelings on the planet, right?
Yeah. And I travel with those. I have to say that they work. They're great. I mean, it's just I'm so happy that I have this.
Yeah. So that's in my travel. Like in my travel kit, I have melatonin, I have herbal laxative, I have what else do I have? Oh, I have Mariva. Oh heck yeah, I have Mariva in there because if anything hurts, headaches on down, I use Mariva for that. And then I have an immune product. I think I have Phyta, I have to look at the name of it. Phytoprofen's like, it's not, Phytogen.
We have that.
Yeah.
Because we have that too.
That's perfect to travel with because then you don't get yourself whacked. Anyway. So that was off subject, however. So I think we've covered that one. Oh, can
okay.
I do this next one? Because this is there a warm version of the shake?
Yeah, really quick. Yes, of course.
Okay.
Of course. Go ahead.
But you know what's so funny? It's like, okay, Janice asked this. Of course, it's now May, so I'm not sure why you want this now. But
oh, it's cold. It was snow. I went on a hike today. It's snowing in the mountains.
You are. It's 90 here, you know,
it's
like, why do you want now?
I'm in Boulder, and I went on a hike. When we began the hike, it was probably around 50, 52 degrees. It started snowing as we went up. So I was like, yeah, what's warm? I want some soup, you know.
Wow. So, well, this is the soup. Honestly, I kind of have been playing around with this because it was really more of a, like, I was getting my period. I was hungry, and I wanted something sweet. Is really how this kind of came to be. And then I realized this can be a great breakfast when it's freezing.
Mm-hmm.
And so what I do is I heat up coconut milk and I add in the protein powder. So you can add in the chocolate or vanilla Vagalite or the chocolate MetaClear SGS. And then I'll heat up my berries. So I heat up the coconut milk, heat up the berries, but I like to add the powder into the coconut milk before adding the berries, otherwise it gets chunky. And then depending on how thick or thin you want it, you can make it, you know, just kind of so it coats the berries, or you can make it like a soup, which is what I do. I make a soup. So I make this hot chocolate berry soup or chocolate. I really love chocolate cherry soup. And then I'll either put some freshly ground flax meal on top. I'll stir in some chia. I'll put some freshly ground or fresh these little slivers of almonds. Or the most delicious of all, are you ready?
Mm-hmm.
Stir in almond butter. But see, I can't keep almond butter in my house, so I can't do it because
yeah.
I have almond butter in my house. I eat it all.
Do you eat it? Do you sort of drink it like hot chocolate? Do you put it? You put it in a warm cup, right? You
I
don't eat it like
spoon.
Soup.
I like to. Eat
oh, you do.
Spoon.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean,
okay.
I eat my shake with a spoon.
Okay. Yeah, well, I do too. I do the
you?
Same thing. I don't mind that it's thick. A lot of people.
I like it thick, but we have to
a lot
like
of people like
one.
It thinner. Yes, a lot of people like it thinner, and some people like it thicker because they feel like it's more, you know, lack of better words, meaty, like they're getting, you know, more of a, I don't know, substantial thing. But that's such a good recipe, especially with almond butter. Oh, I can keep almond butter in the house, by the way.
Oh, I can't. I wish I could. Every time I test this, I'm like, I'm doing it again.
Yeah.
You know? It's ridiculous.
Yeah. And if you get one of those really big containers, I mean, you would just be done.
Oh,
and that's
no,
good
I
that you,
I mean, are you kidding? I'd be sick.
But I love that you're also mentioning that, because it's always good to know what your weaknesses are.
Oh,
and
you
it
have
doesn't matter
to know
how
that. Yeah.
good it is. Get it out. And you talk about this in the class one. Like, get it out of the house, because you're not just going to have, you know, just one potato chip, just one spoonful of a
right.
almond. I can't have those. They have these Justin's, like, dark chocolate peanut butter cups.
Oh, I can't have any dark chocolate anything in the house, because
I couldn't even
that's
dream
another one.
Of
I can't bring dark chocolate in the house. I got these cocoa nibs to add to my shakes, these raw cacao nibs.
Yeah.
Then I started putting the raw cacao nibs in the almond butter. I'm talking, sure,
oh,
it's healthy,
wow.
but it's probably 1,000 calories. You
yeah,
know?
Wow.
And there
that
was a spoon,
is...
and I went, oh, so damn good.
Spectacular.
I had to throw all of it in the trash outside.
Oh, my God. All right, on that note.
It was sick. Okay, anyway.
Andy, do we have any live callers that have been waiting to listen to our chocolate almond butter story?
We do not have any questions at this time. But as a reminder to everybody that's listening, please press *0 on your phone, and I'll go ahead and pick you up to get your question, okay?
Okay. Great. All right, so next one, why might a vegan vegetarian not, a lot of people ask this, not experience as much or any weight loss?
Because they're eating too many carbs, and carbs drive up blood sugar, which drives up insulin, which then turns off your fat burning. You know, here's the thing. You can't eat a high protein, you know, so if we're figuring that you're probably eating about 30% calories from fat with the way we have, or from protein, 20 to 30% calories from protein the way we have you eating, probably another 30% calories from fat, maybe 40%, and the rest from carbs. If you're eating a vegetarian diet, your protein's going to be way low. It's not very bioavailable. Now, if you eat some of these shake mixes, but you can't, I mean, someone say, can I just live on shakes? It's like, no, you cannot. You need to eat some food. You know, they're more bioavailable, but, you know, you're not getting quality protein. It's all about the quality of the protein, how well your body absorbs it, and the nitrogen balance. You're not going to get that if you are eating a vegan diet. So you will always – when I was a vegan, I was 10 pounds heavier. I had nowhere near the muscle mass that I have. I mean, I didn't look anything like this besides I had cystic acne. I mean, just all sorts of things were not pretty. But I didn't look anywhere near what I look like now. And I had to work – I was working like a maniac to get to where I was. That was the joke. I mean, I worked so much harder. And, you know, yes, people will point to Brendan Brazier, and honestly, he's a genetic misfit, okay? It's just like George Burns. Brendan Brazier is the George Burns of the triathlon world. He is not normal. There's a teensy handful of people who – you could probably feed Brendan Brazier anything – and he'd be like a crazy, amazing triathlon. You could feed him snails. You could feed him McDonald's. You could anything. He's just got that, you know, but or genetically. But genetically, hey, we have those canine teeth there for a reason. We're omnivorous. If you have a diet where you have to pull out, where you have to supplement, otherwise you will become deficient, you've got a problem. I mean, you should be able to – we're not getting everything optimally we need from our diet nowadays, especially with all the issues with our food, but it's still we wouldn't be deficient to a point where it could dramatically impact our health if we follow our regular diet.
Also, I definitely also wanted to add to check in for your satiation levels, because many times what we also hear are that vegans and vegetarians just are always hungry, and if it's not for religious reasons or not for conscious reasons, whatever it is, when they do start to add some fish or some chicken, and they're so surprised at how much more full they feel and how much more satisfied they feel.
Yeah, because when you look at it, so what's satiating? And I remember back when I was a vegan, I mean, I ate like a hog, honestly. I mean,
yeah.
And I was always bloated. Oh, my gosh. And gas, like, you cannot believe. It reminds me, I just went to a place that was a raw vegan place, and I had lunch, and I was like, dying for 24 hours. If I had one of those gas-operated cars, I could have just driven myself. Anyway, that was really TMI, wasn't it? so sorry. However, satiety. Satiety is – I've had so much sleep since I've gotten home. I'm just like, let's go.
I love it. It's fun. It's getting me excited. I'm like, let's run. Let's go.
Yeah. You're coming with me to the next
Exactly.
anyway, back to this satiety. Protein is huge for satiety. The three magic little, the triad for satiety, what's so important is this. Number one, protein. Because protein gets together with fiber to slow down stomach emptying to keep ghrelin, the hunger hormone, suppressed. So you will not feel hungry. And then the other one is fat. So fat's another biggie, biggie, biggie.
Yeah, avocado, coconut milk. There's so many. I mean, I don't think there's a meal I go to without some sort of, you know, tahini or avocado or coconut milk or something. I can't even imagine feeling full without it.
Right. No, if I don't eat some good healthy fats, I'm like a disaster. And then, I mean, I know how I feel. I always have to have some protein. I always have to have some healthy fats, you know, need all that stuff. So
next question, what is your opinion on using the raw protein from Garden of Life, a certified organic raw vegan protein powder?
So it looked fine to me. It didn't look like it tasted good, but, you know, if everything in it looked great. So
okay,
I just
great.
Got addicted to my yummy ones.
Yeah, me too.
I'm a taste person. It has to taste really good. Otherwise, I'm not doing it.
Okay. So, Andy, do we have anybody? I know sometimes people jump in after we've asked. Do we have any callers that want to ask a live question?
Yes, we do. The first question will be coming from Elizabeth. Elizabeth, go ahead.
Hi, JJ. Hi, Jackie.
Hi.
I'm really happy. I'm not hungry. This is a breeze, but I'm constipated, and I'm drinking so much water, and I'm doing the fiber, and I didn't come out of this. I mean, I wasn't on sugar. I wasn't on wheat. You know, I was kind of halfway there when I started, and I'm, you know, I did the, I got the other, the Biogest and the, you know, all the other things that you suggested, the burger caps. And I've gone a little bit, but it's kind of lumpy and, you know, like I haven't
okay,
been today. And
questions.
And I feel toxic, like I'm a little congested.
Okay. So what was your diet? What's your name again?
Elizabeth.
Elizabeth. Okay, that's right. What was your diet like? Give me a sample day pre this.
I would have a protein shake. I would have, or for breakfast, I wasn't piling the spinach in there and kale like I am now. Or do you know that thing, that one-minute muffin? Are you familiar with that?
No.
No?
Uh-uh.
Oh, it's like flaxseed and almond meal and egg, stevia, berries. Jorge Cruz came up with it. But it's not, I think it's pretty good, except for maybe the egg.
The ground flaxseed?
Yeah, and you put it in the microwave. You mix all that up in a coffee cup, and you put it in the microwave for 90 seconds.
Ooh, you do that to the flax after it's ground?
It's ground flax. It's pretty cool. Good, actually. Ground flaxseed.
No, that's not what I'm looking at. I'm just worried about oxidizing the flax.
Oh, really? That's bad to put it in the microwave after that?
Well, the whole point of eating flax is to get the omega-3s, but they're very fragile, and so I don't know what the microwave, which changes the molecular structure of food anyway, would be doing to that fragile little flax.
Okay, I won't be eating that anymore.
I would do chia. No, just switch to chia. Well, I'm not a micro fan, to be honest with you.
Yeah,
micro is a great storage place. Anyway, okay, so you were eating those. What else were you eating?
Lots of salads and vegetables, and, you know, I try to eat all organic meat and wild fish and vegetables, and, you know, my treat would be like a clemmy, if you know what those are.
Mm-hmm.
So I wasn't like, you know,
what's
awful.
What's the shift been in your diet? Like, what's the big change?
No coffee. But I didn't have any withdrawal
off. Yeah, but that's probably, I mean, that's, was that, you're usually your big bowel movement in the morning?
Yeah. And I was doing, you know, towards the end, when I heard you say do that half decaf, half regular, I started doing that about a week before. I mean, I'm having green tea now, but, yeah, maybe that's a big difference.
I think that's probably the thing.
Yeah. I don't know what else is real different, and that was what I do. In the morning, I would get up and have a big glass of water with chia seeds and a big glass of water with green vibrance. What do you think of that?
I have to look at that one, but I love green drinks. I'm into this one called Mighty Maca. I think it's mightymaca.com, because my girlfriend, who's a OBGYN, made it, and maca is like this amazing hormone balancing stuff, and she just, I know what she did. Like, she went around the world finding all this cool stuff. So anyway, I was like,
okay,
oh, that's
I'll
great.
Have to check that out. Because
mighty
sometimes I put
greens.
Maca in my greens as well. So I would have these two huge glasses of water with those two things,
I think it's the coffee. It's the coffee.
Yeah.
The coffee gets things going.
Yeah.
Here's my honest feeling about all this stuff. See, I believe that coffee, wine, and dark chocolate are health foods.
Yeah.
I don't understand this bash against coffee. I mean, don't drink a pot of coffee. I mean, my favorite thing to do is have half decaf, half regular espresso because it's lower in caffeine. I'm a slow caffeine metabolizer, so if I hit myself with too much, I'm just miserable anyway.
Me too,
but,
yeah.
I mean, get organic coffee. I do organic coffee. I mix half decaf, half regular at home, and it's loaded. It's one of the most antioxidant-rich foods you can do, and it helps with mental acuity, and it does help with some fat burning. As long as you don't, if you do too much, you're going to get hungry, and you're going to get tense, and you're going to burn out your adrenals. But if you do the right amount, it's
like a cup. And do you drink it black? What do you put in it?
Well, I trained myself to drink it black.
Okay.
I mean, in my perfect world, I'd be having a latte, but,
you know. I know, with that little foam, that Americano foam, right?
Yeah.
what I was thinking was I would not drink coffee when I was on this cleanse, and then I would go back to coffee, because I heard your whole thing about coffee, and I agree. But should I go ahead and put it in there now?
Well, either that or grab a little bit of the either HIIT vitamin C and magnesium. I use magnesium citrate at night.
I've been doing the magnesium.
Magnesium citrate or just magnesium?
Well, first Calm, you know Calm?
No.
Okay, it's this stuff you get. It's called Calm, and it's a drink, and it's got magnesium citrate. And then I took magnesium citrate last night, 600 milligrams.
And,
I'm sorry, 300 milligrams.
Not enough.
Okay, how much did I take?
Close. Well, was that one capsule or two?
One.
Yeah, you might need to take, like, three
okay.
to get it going.
Yeah, because nothing happened.
Yeah,
what about
try
this?
Try taking three, and then if three doesn't do it, go to four.
Okay.
The other thing that I use is that stuff we were just talking about, that herbal laxative that we use.
What about Smooth Move tea?
Yeah, go ahead.
It's Senna. You know that.
I mean, we just want to try to get it going. That's,
yeah, that's what I want to do.
Enough, like herbal laxative or any of this stuff. You wouldn't ever want to use this stuff every day like that.
No, no.
But
what about a colonic?
I am not a fan of those.
Okay.
I first of all, number one, they scare me.
Yeah, me too.
Like, the whole idea is, like, really? But I just don't understand that. It seems like, you know, things shouldn't be going up there like that, and your body's naturally cleansing itself if you're using, you know, if you're eating well and taking good fiber and stuff. I've never understood colonics. The only thing I could see colonics for is to get your body moving again, but I think you can. I've never seen someone not able to do that if they used magnesium citrate, and then if they needed more, going to an herbal laxative type of formula. But again, short term.
Yeah, just get it going because now it's coming out too. I mean, it's coming out real dark too, so I know it's all this fiber because I've been packing the chia seeds and the fiber from the shake.
Well, just and you're getting lots of fluid because I mean, if you started.
Yeah.
If you down like insoluble fiber, which you weren't eating, but like I see a lot of people, if they were eating a lot of gluten, a lot of grains, they're getting more soluble, insoluble, and it's
I was doing some, especially I had the Last Supper the day before, so it was pasta, and you know I did that the night before this cleanse.
But if you were doing it on a regular basis, I mean, grains have more insoluble fiber; they have more of a laxative effect.
Right.
So that might
okay.
be it
too. All right. Well, I'll try that. I'll try the magnesium or this Smooth Move tea tonight just to get it going.
I would do both, man. Why? You know, I'm one of those people, though, if either take a little hammer or a sledgehammer. I'm taking a sledgehammer.
No,
you know,
I don't want to blow my bathroom off the wall, you know? Okay. Okay. All right, guys. I'll do it. I might have to go out in the morning. That's what scares me, going into some real
bathroom. Oh, yeah, that could be a little terrifying. Elizabeth is fun, Jackie. I think she could come out with that.
I know. Jackie's very uneasy right now, right, Jackie?
Not at all. I'm kidding. I've heard us talk about this all day long. Jackie just wanted to chime in and tell about her potty story.
Right. Okay. Well, I knew I could talk about it with you, so thank you.
Uh-huh.
Thanks.
Oh, that was funny, especially what am I going to do in the morning if I have to go run around? That's the worst feeling in the world. I so understand that. Andy, do we have another caller, or should we move on to the questions that were already submitted?
We do have another question. Question is going to be coming from Debbie. Debbie, go ahead.
Okay, have we lost Debbie?
We might have scared Debbie.
Okay. After uh-oh, if you're going to run around, what are you going to do? Okay, Andy, do we have another caller, or should we go? Well, should we move ahead?
Yes, we do. We do have a question from Rachel. Rachel, go ahead.
Hi, ladies.
Hi.
Hi. No pooping problems here. Everything's just smooth as silk. But I do have two questions. I know y'all said you eat your when it gets thick with the spoon. Well, me and a gelatinous, I just keep adding water. I can't. I have an automatic gag reflex. Like I never ate.
Oh,
pudding.
You're putting too much fiber in.
I'm putting the one scoop.
No, half a scoop.
You can do half a scoop and chia seeds.
Oh.
Yeah, otherwise it becomes like Jell-O.
Uh-huh. I have to say I do a whole scoop. It's really depending on who you, like, kind of how it works for you. And JJ also gave some really good advice. As you're starting, your body might not be used to all this fiber because maybe you weren't eating as well prior. And a lot of people like to graduate. You sort of start off with a little, and then you just keep adding just to see how much your body responds to.
I have to tell you, I'm losing a pound a day. I haven't had any trouble with anything. I haven't had cravings. Now, there were a couple of habits I had to break. I was a pretty good eater, but I was a nighttime grazer. I was a grazer. Mm-hmm. And I have not, I mean, I never even had my stomach growl. The only thing I missed was my coffee. So the scoop of it has never, no, I didn't do the chia seeds, and I didn't do the flax seeds because when I did flax seeds once upon a time, it would go in the mouth and just come right back out because I couldn't take the, you know, gelatinous. So does the chia seeds not?
No, I think some of it's like titrating up fiber with you and seeing how you do.
Do what? I'm sorry?
Titrating up your fiber, like start with a little. Like when you say is the shake now making you have the runs?
No, I'm having no, I couldn't. Life is good. I go in, I sit, it's done. I mean, I don't even get a chance to open a magazine anymore, you know. I go to the library, but I don't get to read. And it's over, and there's no oily, it was always a good moment for me in life in the morning.
Hilarious.
And,
okay.
In fact, a lot of my friends would be like, God, already? When we'd travel. I'm like, yeah, but, you know, I get up, I have water, I'm done. I'm not having any negative reaction to the fiber in the shake, except when I'm trying to drink it and it goes goopy.
Yeah, well then just
like I said, I just keep adding water, and if that's not a problem.
No, you can add as much as you want, but you might just want to do a blend of half of the Metabulk and then use a little chia or freshly ground flax and see what combo works best for you.
Flax gets gelatinous too.
Or try the chia. I mean, they're all going to do a little bit of that, so you just have to see which one you like the best, right?
Then
so
my next
There's one fiber product that doesn't, you won't even notice if you just have this, because you have this thing about that. There's a product called Sun Fiber that you won't notice at all.
Fun Fiber?
Sun Fiber.
Fun like fun in the sun or sun?
Yeah.
Okay. And is that with the thorn as well?
No, that's just, in fact, I'm working on a fiber product with them with this in it.
Okay.
It is just one out there, but it is one that I know of that you won't even notice. So
that would make me just, you know,
if you're one of those
girl.
People that you just can't use any of the other stuff, then try that. No.
Okay. Awesome. I mean, I'm choking it down, but do things while I'm drinking it, so it just, you know. Then my next question, you keep saying add the greens, the spinach, and do you juice it first, or are you blending it right?
I mean, we throw frozen. I get frozen organic spinach, and I just toss it in.
Yeah, and I toss it in. I try to toss it in as one of the first ingredients, because if you toss it in as one of the last, it can sort of stick on the top of your blender. So it blends better if you put it more earlier on.
Okay. All right. Cool. And then JJ, but believe it was you who spoke about the mighty what?
Oh, mighty maca greens.
Helps with hormones?
Mighty maca greens, because maca is very – I actually add maca in. I have a bag of maca I throw into my stuff, too. But maca is hormone balancing, so.
And what is maca?
Maca is a – it's
I mean,
like,
it's green, but –
No, it's not. It's not green. It's actually not green. It's this ancient, I don't know.
Well, how do you spell it? I'll Google it.
Yeah, I was like going, what the heck is it? It's like this ancient, I think it's a
secret.
Or something. It's a secret. Yeah, it's a secret. That's what it is. That's maca. Cute. read Mighty Maca Green. She'll tell you what it is.
So how do you spell maca, though? Double M-double-A?
M-A-C-A.
M-A-C-A.
Maca.
M-A-C-A. Okay.
Yeah.
Great. Thank you. Okay. That was all I needed. Thank you.
Okay.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. So
bye.
Do we have another live caller, or are we going back to the questions that we already have?
I do not have any questions at this time.
Okay. Next one, I'm trying to make the distinction between foods that I may have a sensitivity to and foods that I crave. You've said if you have foods that you can't live without and don't want to give up, you most likely have a food sensitivity to this very food. I don't feel like I have a food that I can't live without. However, there are foods that I really crave, and once I start eating them, I don't want to stop no matter how full I am. These foods are coconut milk, peanut butter, all nut butters, butter in general on bread or in anything, coconut water, hummus, and ice cream, of course. I usually crave fat, sometimes sugars. I'm pretty sure I have a severe sensitivity to sugar because once I eliminate it from my diet and feel great, if I reintroduce it even in the smallest amount, I will get a stomach ache within 2 minutes of eating anything with sugar refined in it.
So the way to know if you have a food sensitivity to some of the outliers, like obviously dairy, which is the ice cream, butter, would be one, but the rest of them tend to be more outliers except for peanut butter. And the best thing you could do is just pull those out, and you could pull them out one at a time. You've already got dairy out, but you could try taking hummus out for 3 weeks and then rechallenge it. Same with all the coconut products. Just choose almond milk during that time and then rechallenge. It almost sounds like to me, though, there's like a theme here with the hummus and the ice cream and the nut butter. It's like these smooth, fatty things. And I'm just
yummy.
Yeah,
you
like
definitely
going, yum,
made some good
I things. Get it. I get it.
I would be the same way.
I know.
I don't want to stop either.
I don't think these are so much a food sensitivity craving. I think these are just, it's just like me with my nut butter fixation. I'm not sensitive to it. I can go without nuts for 3 weeks, eat them again, and nothing happens. I think it's, I'm thinking it's just, you know, you have a smooth thing going on, more of an oral fixation thing on it. I will tell you, though, I read this and something popped out at me with some of the foods you were craving and what happens when you eat sugar, and I kind of went candida because, you know, fats actually will kind of put the damper on candida. Fats kill candida. Candida needs carbs to thrive. And coconut especially is anti-candida. And candida is this yeast that we all have, and you need to have some. You should have, you know, it's normal to have some, but you don't want to have a lot. And when you have a lot, you get brain fog, fatigue, weight gain, and carb cravings like crazy. And that's why I'm wondering if maybe when you eat the sugar, you start to feel something from it. So that was my only question there was that. Obviously, sugar doesn't work well for you, but if you do have candy and you eat a little sugar, it will, like, give you this whole brain foggy, almost like you're drunk. Now, on the other one, it's bad to have 3 shakes a day instead of 2, and then she put, I know the answer to this. you know, will 3 shakes interfere with the detox process? No, I mean, you know, if, like, once in a blue moon you ended up eating 3 shakes in one day, hey, no big deal. But really, you know, eat 2 shakes, have a good healthy meal with some clean, lean animal protein, load up your vegetables. You know what to do. You know that. See, the problem is if you were doing three shakes, you would have a tendency to overeat on the fruit. You would have not be getting in enough vegetables, and that's my big concern. Not enough vegetables. Want lots of vegetables.
Okay. True.
True.
Yeah, and even when you're putting spinach, you can't possibly put enough.
Well, you don't want to eat spinach every single day. You know?
Yeah, and you don't want to put it. You can't even eat enough. I mean, usually you can have a couple handfuls at the most, but
okay.
On the week one of the class, one of the ladies, I think JJ was talking about how she eats Chipotle salads while on this cleanse. And I just want to confirm that I heard that correctly. Yeah, we both do.
Yeah.
If I'm out.
Yeah.
And again, it's that salad. It's with the salsa. You can get chicken, avocado, beans. JJ recommends in the second week not to have, you know, the beans, but, you know, that one cup of beans and it's
half a cup. Half a cup.
Half a cup. Pardon me. Yeah, right. Go ahead, guys. Double it up. Who cares? She caught
me. Add some rice and a tortilla, too. Sure, add the sour cream.
Yeah, get those chips. But Chipotle is one of my favorite, one of my favorite, and I think yours, too, going out, because you can actually, get a
That's plant, pretty much the only fast place I'll go to now, because you know, it's like the other ones, you know, you're not getting clean. I mean, here at least they're not, they're doing the hormone, no hormones added. You can't say hormone-free animals because they have hormones in them, but, you know, no hormone added stuff. So I'm a Chipotle fan. In fact, I got myself a little burnt out on it for a while there, and I had to take a break.
Yeah, I did too.
You can't eat it three times a week. I mean, you could, but, like, at some point you're going, I can't look at guacamole anymore.
Yeah,
okay, so what was her question here? Did you read
I've been doing the cleanse diligently, drinking about 80 ounces of water a day, having my two shakes, one larger meal, which I usually have done at lunch. Before starting this cleanse, I never had problems with energy or sleeping at night, but the last 2 days I've been extremely lethargic and haven't been able to sleep at night. I've been exercising like normal and have never had a lot of caffeine, so I don't think I'm suffering from withdrawals. Have you ever heard other participants experiencing this, and do you know why I might feel this way?
The only thing I think is if your energy, when we see people whose energy goes down, it may be that they were eating a lot more carbs and then they dropped them down. Their body was used to using sugar and carbs as fuel rather than fat, so they have an energy shift and it takes a couple days to get over to that. So that could be one of it. The other thing is if you're not eating enough, it will raise up your cortisol and adrenaline and impact your sleep at night. So make sure you're getting enough in. That you're not hungry. If you're doing your larger shake at your larger meal at lunch, it may be that you need to add in. How I feel about snacks, but I'll generally have a snack sometimes. You might need to throw a snack in the afternoon. You may not be getting enough food at night. You might be hungry. That's raising cortisol. That's impacting serotonin and impacting sleep. So that could be what's going on there. Now,
and you might be stressed over the last, right? Some stress might have crept
yeah,
in over
so,
the last
and I don't know if there's
days.
Stress going on. That could be it. Now, she also talks about, I've had a lot of heartburn. Did you say that?
No, which is confusing because I haven't had any spiced or acidic foods, which are my usual triggers. Can I take anything over the counter for that while on this cleanse, or should I just try to stick it out? I just want to be able to get the most out of this.
So, see, the problem is I don't really know. She's already someone who has heartburn. So, you know, I don't know if are you drinking a lot of green tea can kick heartburn for some people. So I don't know if something that you've added in is creating a heartburn for you. So that's one thing to look at. Make sure you're not drinking a bunch of fluid with your meals, which can make you have heartburn. Make sure that you're – talk to your doctor about getting tested if you're under the age of 35 or 40. I would really look at H. pylori. Make sure you test for that. Generally, people who are younger, 30 and under, H. pylori is more of a key for heartburn. If you're older, 35 plus, and stressed, a lot of times low stomach acid is the reason for heartburn. So as long as you don't have ulcers, I would always do a trial of either BPP or Biogest with your one real meal and see if that helps. And then there's a great product from Thorne called GI NCAP, which has got the glycyrrhized licorice root, which helps with mucus production in the GI tract. So what it will do is it helps to enhance the stomach's protective mucus layer. It's very soothing. So that's what I would add into the mix, too, is I would add in this GI NCAP, and I'd take one with each shake and one to two with the meal and see how that does, too. So that would be my recommendation on that.
Oh, perfect. Do we have any live callers before we go to the next question?
Yes, we do. We actually have another Debbie. Debbie, go ahead.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi. Hi. I have two quick questions. I'm like a week behind because I've been out of town all week, so I'm going to be starting on Monday. You're talking about the coffee, the half caffeine and the half regular. Is that after the cleanse, after these initial 2 weeks? You don't drink that during the cleanse.
Here's the thing. Are you drinking coffee now?
I am, and I do use it for to go to the bathroom in the morning.
Okay, let me tell you the most important things because, you know, in life there's some things that are absolutes and a lot of things that aren't, right? During the cleanse, you really need to keep out eggs, gluten, dairy, corn, soy, peanut, sugar, and artificial sweeteners. Anything we have with sugar in it is 5 grams or less of sugar. The rest of the stuff, it's 100% out. That you need to be 100% with. If you're used to drinking coffee every single day and that's what keeps you going to the bathroom and keeps you alert, get organic, stick with a cup, or do 2 cups of half decaf, half regular. Don't worry about it.
The other thing is, if I can't find all of these products organic, like the vegetables and the fruits, is that going to hurt my results?
No, here's what you do. Go to EWG.org and get the Dirty Dozen and the Clean 15. They're going to give you the products that you really want to make sure, like berries are a great example. Berries and apples, you really want to get organic because they are heavily sprayed crops versus avocados. Those are ones that you don't necessarily need to get organic. So it'll give you the list and focus on coffee is one you really want to get organic. You want to get clean, lean protein, good oils that are organic. So you focus on the top things that really should be organic and then the ones that aren't as big of a deal. And generally it's things with the skin are not as important.
Thank you very much.
Sure.
You're welcome. Andy, any more or are we moving on?
We don't have any more questions at this time.
Great. Okay, so the next question, this is time sensitive. I'm training for my third half marathon, which is May 20th. I did my last pre-race long run this morning, about 11.5 miles. It took me 2 hours and 15 minutes. I'm a tortoise, not a hare. I had my shake this morning, added my non-electrolyte tablets and heat electrolyte drink to my water for the run to help me in the last full time. No corn syrup in those, even though they do have sorbitol. I usually take Jelly Belly brand energy packs or Cliff Gel blocks with more electrolytes. I sweat a lot, but didn't today. Because I'm doing the cleanse and they may have corn syrup. I was more tired than usual during the run. I'm trying to figure out 2 things. First, should I just drink my shake in the morning of the race without the Medibulk, as I don't want to have to go? Number 2, during the race, and what could I use, drink during and after the race to help me with endurance? And then we'll go on to number 2.
All right. So the first thing I would tell you, my favorite book for all of this is The Paleo Diet for Athletes. And it really kind of breaks through this myth of this high-carb thing that we have that people seem to think that they have to do. So that's one that I really, really love. Is I would say read the Paleo Diet for Athletes. The other thing I was going to tell you is there's a great – Thorne has a great electrolyte balance drink called Pure Light. Now, the issue with it is it does not have it doesn't have any calories. So that's a problem. It's great for post-recovery to throw in your shake. It's great to put in your water when you're working out. But when you're really doing something where you're going to need to add some calories, some glucose, which is my preferred, even though there's a little artificial coloring in this one, my favorite of all is something called Motor Tabs. When I was working with these, I don't know if I ever told you I was doing this, Jackie, I used to do a lot of sports nutrition. I used to work with pro boxers. But I was working with King World Production. They were putting together, they wanted to create the next heavyweight champ of the world. And so I had them all using the Motor Tabs, which is my favorite of all of them. My preferred thing would be no artificial anything and just glucose and electrolytes. But, you know, I think it's got a little artificial coloring, but overall it's really better than most other stuff I have seen. So you have to really see, here's the thing. As far as what you should drink the morning before the race, you really need to see what works best for you personally prior to that. This is one where I would use bananas, where I don't normally tell people not to use bananas. I'd be definitely using bananas pre and post here because you just flat out need the calories and the higher glycemic load. But you have to really see what works best for you here, and it may be that you can't, I don't know. You're just going to have to test that one out. I'm not going to be able to tell you what's
best for it. But I would encourage you to read the Paleo Diet for Athletes as your source for all this information. That's where you're going to get the best of it. And then you really need to probably titrate up your overall calories. Not so much, you know, bring up your protein a little bit, but really bring up your fats and a little bit of your carbs. And you're just going to have to play around to see which you, how you do. But read that book. Oh, and then
answers the second question too. I usually carb load the day before.
Yeah.
Generally, my okay.
Yeah. So, how do you make good kale chips? It's called whole foods. That's
no.
Right. I buy whole. I've been doing kale chips and flax chips, and I'm actually might have to get them out of the house, unfortunately.
If they always burn, you're saying I've tried and they always burn. Your heat is too high. You've got to just, and every oven is different. So I do mine at 350, but you have to sort of test it with your oven, and you have to be, it can literally be a minute where it burns. So I always do 11 minutes, even though it's probably like 13 minutes for my kale chips, and then you just have to turn that light on in your oven and just, you know, watch them very, very closely.
Why buy them at Whole Foods?
Yeah, exactly, because why aren't you just staring at your stove?
And they'll even ship them on Amazon Prime free shipping, just saying.
I mean, I love when kale chips are warm from the oven, so that's kind of my thing, but it's true. It's like any cooking thing. You really have to pay very close attention, or you have to start doing triage on your food.
Now, she's asking some more fluid questions, and I want to give some someone's here. I want to give some information here. She's drinking 8 cups of green tea a day, and then should she be cutting that or doing that in addition to 8 cups of water, and then water when she works out and then other stuff. Here's the thing with all of the fluids. The 8 cups of green tea, yes, there will be a little bit of dehydration with green tea, but, you know, I mean, I would still count 8 cups as basically 4. But really watch your weight, because if you're working out a lot, what you want to do is weigh in before you go and work out and weigh in afterwards. I'll tell you something interesting. Brendan Burchard was talking about training, and he said, yeah, when I train, or I'm not training, speaking, he says, when I do an event, I lose 10 pounds because he wasn't drinking enough water. So what we used to do with the athletes is we just have them monitor their fluid intake pre and post, because you should not be losing water. So, you know, you should be drinking 4 ounces of water every 15 minutes. So that's the best way to tell on fluid, is how much you should be drinking. That 64 ounces a day, it's really kind of half your body weight in ounces. And, you know, that's rough. If you're in a place where you're sweating more, then you're going to need more. But the best way, again, is to monitor it. Not an absolute there, right?
Okay, and then the next, we keep kosher in our house. Kosher grass-fed meats are truly prohibitive in cost. What would you, even if I can find them, that's true. What would you recommend? Most of my protein comes from chicken and turkey and some beef. I like canned salmon, but generally don't like other forms of salmon. I keep trying while sometimes I like it when others make it. I always overcook it. Help. One thing about cooking salmon, when you just said that you overcook it, it's that same thing you're having with the kale chips. Yeah, it is something you have to monitor. My trick is I always put the timer earlier than I know. Like a 1 pound piece of salmon after you preheated the oven to 400, takes about 23 minutes in my oven. So I would always do about 20 minutes or 18 minutes, and I check it, and so that I know kind of what's going on with there. So just that tip. And the biggest thing with overcooking salmon, if you tend to do that, wrap it up in foil and seal it, kind of like those foil recipes, because it tends to stay a lot juicier. I would also try
the parchment ones.
Yeah, the parchment, exactly. Parchment keeps in all those juices
or
as well.
Or order it when you're out at restaurants where they have wild.
Yes, exactly.
You can see the theme here.
and they'll cook it perfectly. Mahi-mahi is one of my favorites. It's usually like some of the base. Again, I do only get it at Whole Foods, but it's usually the base of fish tacos. It's a kind of almost a tough fish, and it's low in mercury. It's really good with pico de gallo.
Now, I thought I just read that mahi-mahi was one of the higher ones.
From what I know, you know, you could be right. From what I knew, my base, but I mean, maybe things have been tested.
I just looked up a new one, and they said it was on the, actually, I was just editing my book, and we pulled
okay.
the latest chart, and the latest chart,
okay.
and I thought, oh my gosh, I just had it. And it's on
yeah,
the
because
higher
I do,
level again. Just
that
like halibut,
lower,
by the way.
Yeah, I know. Halibut I knew, but my was on the lower list. That's interesting to learn. That's a bummer.
You've
got
to monitor these things all the time. I think that's the takeaway.
I agree with you. Tilapia can sometimes be a very low cost fish, but also, you know, depending on these kinds of things are worth spending a little bit extra money on because of, you know, some of the quality and when you can ask people where they're coming from. That's a big deal. But when it comes to fish, if you like salmon that other people make, it's very possible that you can find some fish that you really like. It's usually the people that don't like fish at all that have the most issues when it comes to that. Now, I also eat bacon, which if you're kosher, you're definitely not doing. Yes, I'm Jewish. Yes, I shouldn't be eating bacon. Yes, I do a little bit. So that, you know, obviously your all your pork is out for you. So I think the biggest thing is to start trying some more fish. And also spices can make things taste completely different.
Oh, my God. Blackened spices on tilapia or salmon.
I mean, delicious. And then sometimes you can do it a completely different way. You can do like a cilantro lime salmon. You can do an Asian tilapia. The biggest thing that I want you to do is, if you're a little bored, help, is really think about the cuisines that you like the most when you're going out to eat. If you're out to eat, say, how did you do this? Give me the ingredients. And don't get too fancy to begin with, because then you'll get intimidated. Just find the three major things, like Mexican, or, you know, that is that lime, cilantro, jalapeno. And when you just have those three ingredients, you tend to have those in the house, and it tends to not be intimidating. So you really, really, my biggest thing here is really experience with the different spice combinations.
I'm so glad that we're doing the cooking videos together.
Oh, I know. I know. I know.
You don't hear me. Well, just go to Whole Foods.
Well, by the way, I do that a lot. I'm not maligning the whole. I mean, I feel like Whole Foods is our wife. You know, when I don't want to cook, it's like, yay, thank God Whole Foods is there. But for me, sometimes, you know, I just really want to be, I know this sounds a little strange, I want to be connected to my food. I want to know exactly what's going in there. Even if you could imagine, sometimes in Whole Foods, they'll use canola oil with some of the things.
I know,
and
it's so disturbing, isn't it?
I know. Jeez. And if you don't remember, and by the way, they're so open. We're like, hey, listen, we don't want canola oil. Will you please use olive oil or coconut oil? They'll switch. They'll absolutely do it for you. But if you didn't remember, because there's sometimes you're just in a hurry, sometimes I just really, when I'm eating out too much, even at Whole Foods, I just come back to, I want to know what's going in my food. I want to cook for myself. And I go back to my old favorite cuisines. I love Asian fusion, Thai, Japanese, Indian, and Mexican. Those are kind of my favorites. And so I'll start alternating there. Okay. Now,
all right.
Now that we're all
hungry. You kind of went off on a rampage on all this stuff.
Absolutely. Andy, do you have any live callers, or should we go to the next question?
I do not have any questions at this time.
Okay,
yeah.
Great.
The live callers have fallen over. They're
like, oh,
okay.
Stop talking about food. I'm hungry. When I made up the shake recipe, including the cup of berries, kale, coconut milk, I came out to about a quart of smoothie. Is this supposed to be one meal replaced?
Yeah, because, I mean, that's about 300-400 calories.
Right. Yes.
Yeah.
And somebody said they made this recipe and it was only 250 calories, and I don't even know how.
Well,
they
the
got
shake
that
mix
number.
Is a little, it's like 100 plus. I'm trying to think of what it was. Between the berries, the shake, the chia, it ends up being around 300. I kick it up. I kick up my seeds.
Yeah.
So it just depends on how much you do the seeds and how much of the protein. I kick my protein up a little bit because I like to get 30 grams in. And then So I think that takes about 150. Then the coconut milk. I do a little over a cup, so I'm about 220.
I do too.
Then
I do a cup
fiber.
And a half.
Yeah, so I mean, I look at mine. Mine's about 400. Then sometimes if I can, you know, if there is almond butter in the house, I swirl it in. But that's so rare.
Yeah, right. I keep off the call is almond butter and cocoa
yeah.
nibs.
Well, you know, anyway. Because people send me, I mean, they send me almond butters and chocolates. I'm like, don't send that to me. Then I have to
yes.
give them away. I have to get them immediately regifted. Otherwise, you know.
You're
you
done.
Yeah.
So she said, I was surprised that a handful of greens really doesn't alter the taste that much. Yay. Yes, absolutely.
It doesn't alter it at all. I don't notice it
all.
At all.
I don't notice at all. The only thing I notice sometimes is if I put too much in and then I don't blend it enough. That's the only time I've ever noticed. My problem is that greens supposed to smooth out while blending. No matter how long I let my blender go, I end up with greens as chopped up bits throughout my smoothie, never smooth and uniform like split pea soup. Is this normal? I don't want to strain it out because then I'm throwing away the nutrients, natural fiber. That's the reason I put the greens in there in the first place. Please advise, are your smoothies smooth or chunky like mine? Mine are smooth, but I was just mentioning, if I don't blend it enough, I will have pieces. I find that spinach is easier than kale, and you do say that you're using kale. You might also want to try some Swiss chard. It's very, very mild flavor and also tends to blend like spinach. I also have a Vitamix, so I don't have...
Yeah, I'm wondering,
have,
if she's using a magic bullet. Like, I don't know if it's a Bullet 1000, a magic bullet, or something else.
I think it is, but I've never used...
Nothing survives in a Vitamix. Everything's pulverized.
I've never used a magic bullet. I will say that I mentioned a blender. If you don't want to buy the Vitamix, it's an Osterizer Professional, and that I was able to get things ground up as well, so it might be your blender. The other thing is I would just even... keep blending in your bullet just to see.
The difference between my magic bullet when I'm on the road and my Vitamix, you know, big difference.
And maybe you also want to do like a little fewer greens. I don't know. Not that that's a good recommendation, but I would just start experimenting as well. Next, I've done the cleanse, and I eat what I would consider perfectly. I have a shake in the morning. I eat veggies with chicken or fish or turkey for my other meals. Every once in a while, I cheat, usually with my snacks, never with my meals, but even a cheat is maybe a lot of nuts or fruit or a few bites of sushi. I'm a triathlete. I do Ironmans. It's my passion. Passion. I won't stop my workouts to get thin, but I just have this huge flat tire around my middle, and I wish it would go away. Is there a way I can still be an Ironman and lower my body fat? My friends seem to do this, and I don't understand what's wrong with me.
Well, I am not a fan of marathon training because I believe that it makes people fat, especially around their waist.
This is where
people don't like me, you know.
Yeah.
But
yeah, well, I got a nasty girl. We posted something today about marathons from some new research that came out, and I think it's someone's like, this is not motivating at all. And I know that
it
our
is.
Job
it
is
means you don't have to spend hours doing triathlon training every day. You can be fitter. I work out a quarter of a triathlon, and you know, yes, there's especially men. Men won't be in the same situation as women. Women were not meant to run triathlons at all. I'm sorry, our adrenal systems are not set up for this at all. And I see most women. It ages you faster because you have a lot of oxidative stress. You're breathing harder. You create a lot more oxidative stress. But you are raising your stress hormones. Remember, when you raise your stress hormones, you're going to break down bone. You teach your body how to store fat better. You store more fat around your waistline and raise the set point for burning it off. You screw up your hormone cascade to be able to build muscle. You break down muscle. It's causing you to be very catabolic and break down more than you're building up and not breaking down fat. If you look at most marathon runners, they have the muscle mass of a couch potato, whether it's a man or a woman, because this does not support healthy muscle mass. So they look old before their time, haggard, and especially for women, I mean, they tend to gain more fat, especially around their waistline because of that elevated stress hormones. So, you know, is there a way you can be an Ironman and still lower your body fat? You should do adrenal testing, and you should do massive adrenal support, and you should throw in interval burst training. Try to do your lowest amount of training that you possibly can do in endurance training and still get the result and really support your adrenals. Massively support your adrenals and antioxidants big time.
Yeah, that's tough because I know a lot of people who do Ironmans. When you said this, you know, JC, I guess it's my passion. That's a really challenging thing where you have to really think about sort of what you want to do, you know, as a personal decision.
I know, and it's like even when I start to say it, I'm like, oh, you're getting a bit bad at me.
I know, and it's
I'm not really popular, but it's the truth, darn it.
The next question, I'm not comfortable giving up my Greek yogurt. First, I love it, and second, it's where I get the bulk of my calcium, and osteoporosis runs in my family. Can I still do everything you say and just have Greek yogurt too? Kim.
This is 3 weeks. We're talking about 3 weeks. Your bones are not going to be impacted. Okay, there's a couple things going on here. Number one, it's 3 weeks. That's not going to make the difference. But interestingly enough, the nurses study, and I talk about this in my book, and it's tens of thousands of nurses. Those who had the highest dairy intake had the most osteoporosis. Why, you ask? Because dairy is very acidic, and therefore leaches calcium from your bones to buffer your acid alkaline balance back up to normal. So the idea that we need to eat a lot of dairy products, because the countries that eat the least amount of dairy products tend to have the best bones. So what I really thought here, Jackie, I was going to offer my 7 step plan to building better bones for life. It's called Strong for Life. I will give it to everybody free. Just talk to Susan. But it goes through what you need to do, which is vitamin D. If I was going to pick one thing for bone health, number one would be vitamin D. Number two, lower your acid load, acid-alkaline balance. That means things like, you know, sodas have got to go. But eating lots of vegetables and a little bit of fruit and nuts and seeds is going to help with that. Omega-3s are real important for bone remodeling. So fish and flax and chia, great for bone remodeling. Lifting weights. Reducing stress. Stress is very catabolic. That will massively impact it. Having good estrogen levels. Big time. Very important for bone health. So this idea that, you know, in order to protect our bones, we should be taking calcium, the studies don't at all support this. At all.
And there's so much calcium in green vegetables. The issue is that they don't control the agenda as much as, you know, the dairy council.
Yeah, where's that damn sardine council? Because sardines, if you're going to pick anything like sardines, you know.
I love talking about sardines.
I know. And they're just, you'll eat them, right? They just scare me.
I eat them. I love them. I will always eat them.
You know what? For my 50th birthday, I'm going to eat sardines while getting a colonic.
Yeah. That sounds great.
I'm just going to go for it. I'm going to do all the things. You know, they say do one thing a day that scares you. I'm going to do that.
On the same day.
Okay.
Okay, so, Andy, I just want to make sure we don't have any more questions before we answer these last few.
Yeah, we do have another question from Debbie. Debbie, go ahead.
Hi. I just thought of something else I wanted to ask you too. Should I continue to take all the supplements I usually take? Like I take about 15 or 20 different ones every day. Is that okay during the cleanse or is...
You know, here's one thing I want you to look at, and this happened to me personally, was I was taking supplements with fillers in them. And it's funny because I thought, gosh, you know, I've had some GI issues come up a lot because of stress, but then they kept getting exacerbated and I kept taking more supplements to try to fix them, but I was taking supplements with magnesium stearate in them. So it depends on the quality. If you're taking high quality supplements, then they should be great. If you're taking low quality tablets or those with magnesium stearate, I'm going to steer you away from taking those. But also, like, you know, I'm a big fan of supplements. And Jack and I were laughing because I take a Dixie cup full of supplements every day, and that's my limit of how many I can take is how many will fit in a Dixie cup.
And that's the best tip, guys. If you have trouble, if you're like, oh, I can't swallow all these at the same time, or I forget, or, oh, is it going to be with a meal or without a meal or this time of day or that time of the day, that is the number one trick. I've had all my friends talk to me about it, too, saying, that is the best trick I've ever heard. And I was like, that's what JJ came up with. Put them all in a cup on your counter, and then just during the day, you take them when you think about it.
Yeah, and I literally have that little cup sitting here because I'm like 3/4 of the way through it.
I do, too. I'm the same. It was just one of the best tips.
So what are you taking? I'd love to know.
Well, I take a multivitamin, I take calcium, magnesium, vitamin D, CoQ10, turmeric, vitamin K, garlic,
Not right in front of them right now. I'm just trying to recall how they're laying in my drawer.
Let me give you a couple things just to look for, besides making sure that you don't get magstearate and that you get things in capsules. With things like curcumin or turmeric, they are so tough to absorb. They really need fat, so you want to find them in a phytosome. Big difference when you get them in a phytosome in terms of, remember, it's not what you take, it's what your body can absorb. So with curcumin, look for it in a phytosome. The company that makes the raw that then goes into the supplements is a company named Indina. CoQ10, the difference in absorption on CoQ10 is dramatic. It can go from 4%. Same with minerals, by the way. The form of a mineral is incredible. And the level of absorption, like in calcium, it can vary from 5% to 50%. So that's why this is so critical. It's not what's on the label. It's what gets into your body. And that's why things like taking tablets is just dumb. It just doesn't make any sense. But CoQ10 is interesting because it is my office manager just came in the door. So CoQ10 is an interesting one because it's a very expensive nutrient. One place in Japan is sort of the market on making CoQ10. No one's got close to it. Everyone's gotten as close as mine. But a guy in the U.S., Bill Judy, perfected a technique to make CoQ10 way more absorbable. And then Design Trials used to use it. They were the company I used to work for. So we did a bunch of studies when I was with them and tested the levels of it. Now, they've lost the exclusive because Thorne bought the exclusive rights to it all. But it's the only CoQ10 you should bother taking, because with a lot of this stuff, it's how much money, you know, what's getting absorbed, making sure you're not throwing your money away. So that's one of the other things I'd look at, is the only time you're going to get in trouble with supplements is if you do things like, you know, take too much A without D or take too much D. You can get deficient in A or D because you're overdoing the other. When you take D, you know, you want to make sure you're getting K in some things. And then if you're taking stuff that's just crappy forms like tablets or magstearate that just aren't good for your body, those are the issues.
I usually get them from natural.
Well, you know, but you can get them from a natural place and they can still put magstearate. Like in the professional brand world, there are only two companies out of all of them that don't use magstearate. So, unfortunately, even if you are, you know, it doesn't matter. You still have to read the labels. And there's still a lot of professional brands that sell tablets.
Okay.
Did you have? You're welcome. Our next question, here's my next question. I'm so tired. I have to work very hard at my job. Why don't I have the energy that everyone else seems to have? I'm drinking 2 shakes and I have a salad for dinner. That's it.
So what I don't know is, was she tired before? Like, were you never tired and now you're tired, or you were tired before and now you're more tired? And what were you like before? Again, if you were eating a lot of carbs and sugar before and you just started this and switched over, that is probably what's doing it. So check on that, and that will help. If you were it may be that for now you need to add an afternoon snack, say an apple with almond butter or berries and nuts, or some hummus on some celery sticks or something, and that will fix it. You know, so don't, you know, and when you say a salad, I want to make sure that salad is from the plate. You've got loads of vegetables, some healthy, clean, lean protein, some healthy fats, and some slow, low carbs. So just make sure you're following all the parameters there. And if you went from eating a lot of carbs and downshifted over to this, it takes like 4 to 7 days to adjust.
Okay. This is doable for the next 2 weeks, I guess, but I don't know how I could live my whole life eating like this. I miss cheese. I miss chocolate. I miss cheese the most. The bread was easier than I thought. I'm already 3 pounds down, but I feel very deprived. How do people do this for the long term? Lisa.
Well, this is only for a couple of weeks, and
right.
This is what I remember when we first started this. I told Jackie, I said, just I'm going to warn you that for the first couple of days, it's going to be hell.
Right, and the eggs.
I had
the hardest time with the eggs, and I realized very early on that pizza is just not my friend, because I wanted pizza more than, I mean, anything in the entire world.
So you go through the first couple of days, you're like, I can't, like, how do people do this? Then,
right.
Then, you know, once you get through the first 2 weeks, and you start to challenge foods back, and you realize some of these foods, you know, you might find out that you feel okay with a little goat cheese. You might find out that when you eat cheese, you get gassy and bloated, and you go, oh, heck no, this isn't worth it. So right now, just 2 weeks, even 3 weeks would be better, and then re-challenge. And you're going to find that you shift so much in this cup in this time because you kind of get to a point, you go, which do I care about more? Like, I love goat cheese, and I love Greek-style yogurt, but I don't love zits, and I get them immediately when I do that, you know? So
yeah,
it's just you kind of get to what's worth it.
And it's a big deal. You'll start to see changes in your skin. Sometimes when I have an egg or I have cheese and then I wake up with two big pimples on my cheek, it's absolutely enough motivation just to say that was absolutely not worth it. And, you know, I go – another big thing is I find that I come up with more recipes, more different salads and things that I love. So it's not like, oh, my God, I'm going through life with tasteless, you know, celery and things I don't like. I like things that I make just as much as maybe I would like eggs or it's different.
Yeah, you find it's the thing is right now you're in a transition period where you need to find new things. And you were used to your stuff that you did have. Now we got to find new things that you like. And so that's a big part of it. It's like let's find some new things that you'll like as much as your old things. Right?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Next, Jackie and JJ, thank you so much for this cleanse. I feel great. I look good. I swear even my hair looks shinier. That's really cool. I never knew it could be this easy. I'd like to ask about almond milk. I know you like to do coconut milk, but I love the taste of the shakes with almond milk. Can I do this sometimes? Thank you again, Beth.
So, I just totally spaced out during this whole thing. Here's the deal with almond milk. I was so anti-almond milk. And then I still think coconut milk is better. But almond milk's okay. And now that they have the unsweetened vanilla ones, and then they have
that plus, too.
Oh, and then they have the plus, the unsweetened plus by So Delicious is
yes.
amazing. And once that came out, I was like going, in fact, we're revising the book. This is like the last thing I have to do with the book, I hope, for the edits today. And I'm revising my opinion on almond milk. I still think coconut milk's the rock star, but almond milk, some of these new versions of the almond milk are actually totally fine to do. It used to be that they just were like a caloric dump with a lot of sugar, but I'm okay with that. I would just alternate back and forth, and I've been actually doing that. I've been using some of the almond vanilla milk and some of the coconut milk.
Oh, okay, good. So, hi, JJ. I have blood in my poop. I had anal fissures when I was younger, and whenever I see it's bright red, I don't take it seriously. Do you think I should go to a doctor? Thanks.
Yes.
Yes, go to a doctor.
The answer is yes, go to a doctor.
Yes, absolutely. And I guess this is the last one. I have a question about my skin. It's always red. I'm sure I have inflammation. Are there supplements you recommend for this, Susan?
I'm just... You know, I can't diagnose, and if I could diagnose, I couldn't diagnose over the phone. So two strikes. Number one, I would look at that as potentially rosacea. And with rosacea, of course, you know about alcohol, caffeine, and spicy food. But a big part of rosacea is how well you digest your food. So I would look at BPP or Biogest with any protein meals. You don't need to worry about with your shake, but definitely with your meals. And then, of course, adding GLA is another big one. I'd also look at adding
that's the black currant oil, just for
yes.
people. Yes.
yes.
Okay.
And then I would also look at adding some Floramend Prime probiotic in there. That's always a good thing too.
Okay. Well, girl, we made it through.
Yay!
An hour and 20 minutes. If you have any other questions or some of this actually sparked new questions, you know, definitely send them in. We'll get them in on the next Q&A. And, you know, obviously you can also ask in the team, but best to email them to cleanse@puretrainer.com so we have them completely organized and we can make sure we get to them next time.
Yeah.
So do we have any live callers before we get off the phone? Just making sure of the last call.
We do not have any more questions at this time.
Okay, great. All right, JJ, thank you. I'm so excited to see you next month. It'll be so much fun.
Thank you.
June.
I know. I'm so fired up about that. That is so
good.
People don't know what the heck we're talking about. Well, it'll be too late by the time they listen to the replay, unfortunately.
That's true. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So,
well.
Sorry, if you don't know what we're talking about, then you're out of luck.
Oh, well,
there'll be more
opportunities. Okay.
Yeah.
Sounds good.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah.
Have a great weekend.
Bye.
Okay, bye.